Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
We are back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 of The Fan. I don't want to scare people, but I do think Chuck Tuna may be at Kimo's tonight. But in spite of that, you can go there, and it's one of the better deals in St. Louis because from 3:30 to 8:30 in this really swank, it's the coolest bar in St. Louis, you can have Kimo's happy hour where the appetizers are half price and the domestic beers and the wine are dirt cheap. You can have our homemade calzones and our meatballs and the fried spinach and tenderloins of beef. It's outstanding. Or you can have a cheese bread and salad. The happy hour at Kimo's is really one of the coolest and most economical things you can do in St. Louis. It's outstanding. Or you may just want to have one of their great steaks, lasagnas, cannellonis, manicottis, our famous cheese bread. If you haven't been to the new Kimo's in Westport, you are missing something special. We appreciate them being with us.
The only mistake I made, had a great birthday dinner there, is that loaded up on appetizers, ended up taking most of the steak home. Wow. Which is not a problem, really, deep down. But
no.
Loaded up on the appetizers, had a great meal. Kimo's in Westport is really starting to bump a little bit. Is that what the kids say? Starting to bump.
Is that it? That's the phrase?
By the way, if you wanted to chime in, slop over, I should have made slop overtime strictly about the text line at 855-282-8555. I keep forgetting the numbers here. But the text line today brought to you by Maryville and also our friends at Triad Bank, who want you to take it to the bank for all your banking needs. They're located in Frontenac. It is on Clayton Road. It's one block west of Lindbergh. Easy to get to from Highway 64 in Lindbergh. That exit since 2005. St. Louis-based bank, five-star rated bank. All your banking needs, one spot. It's Triad Bank in Frontenac. Triad Banking. .com.
That's probably how he, Martin buys some of the stuff he does. He goes to Triad Bank, gets the
Bank come to him whenever
it comes
right?
to him. What a false narrative.
Speaking of Martin's net worth, did you see on the text lines it says Martin Kilcoyne net worth 2019, age, height, relationships, married, dating, and then the net worth it says 16 million. Does that seem a little low, Brian?
Because I have a backup camera. All right, now I have a front camera. But you guys are exaggerating all of this greatly.
That's reported income. There's some hidden.
I'm an old dad,
reported
okay?
Reported income. There's some, Swiss bank account.
I'm going to have a kid in college when I'm 80, and I'll be delivering pizzas.
That's why he goes to the Bahamas so much to check his
the side money
from his tax-free money.
Yeah. How about side money from the Cardinals?
Thank you to the great folks at Triad Bank. Oh, and by the way, I think Jeff Supon, we're delaying a little bit. He's at the zoo with his kid, so we'll get to him as soon as we can. Let's do five for Frank because there's a DeWitt Ballpark Village-related question right, here.
To tee up the hot topics, it's five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, let's start with question one. How long do you think it took our good friend Ed Golterman to send Martin a scathing email about the Ballpark Village expansion, which includes the new 29-story apartment building, 297 units available. Summer of 2020, the building will be ready.
622 cards.
Yeah. 62 DeWitt.
What's the percentage when Martin got to his desk, there was an email waiting for him?
What time?
It was about 9:55.
So he started writing at 9:56. 10:35.
Incorrect.
10:10.
9:59.
Are you kidding?
I got back to my desk. And I'm just getting ready for the 10. I'm going through, and I have all my different email accounts up. And I see in my Fox 2 inbox, Ed Golterman, who's always mad about everything. He may have some insight about how the Opera House wasn't handled properly, but he just hates anybody and everything. I see in my inbox. I literally had just gotten off the set, walked back to the sports office, sat down, look up. There's an email because I had just done the story, and it was basically... It was not hard-hitting, I agree.
Well, it was a plot piece, I'm sure.
But it was about What I mean, if you go to a Cardinal game, you're like, are those condos? We've argued about it. Oh, no, you can rent them. No. Chuck Marlin. No, you can do a Airbnb. You can make money off it. We were just sorting through the myth and the reality and giving you it's eye candy a little bit.
No, I saw it. You're telling, you don't have to spend any more money on the team. They're sign here. First place. You're good. Yeah.
I did ask him.
He did tag it out. Martin Kilcoin. Go Cards.
I did ask him.
Time to fly.
If you guys make more money with all that you're doing on this side of the building, does that mean you have more to spend? And he said, I get asked that a lot, that if you make a ton of money over here, do we get new shortstops? And he said, over there, the investment is such a long-term investment. He said, there may come a time where if it's so profitable or the franchise is worth so much more, it will be riskier on that side, but that's down the road. Anyway, Ed Gulterman.
That's unbelievable, though.
4 minutes after the piece airs, I think he probably saw the promos and knew it was coming, so he was ready. I see in my inbox, and it's his name, and then the subject just says, brutal. And let me tell you, 1,000%, my hand on the Bible, I simply hit delete.
Why?
I
would have loved that.
I didn't read it.
I found his Twitter account.
He has one?
Yes.
Oh,
he,
wow.
He does?
Yes.
Wait, did he rip Martin?
Tweeted since 18, but if the first tweet is
since 2018?
Yeah.
You don't delete your deleted items on your email, right? Can we read it live on the air?
If I can find it, I swear, I saw Brutal, because I had to do the 10 and the 11. I'm like, I don't have time to worry about this, because he'll probably just make me mad, and I just hit delete. But that's all it took. All right, 5 for Frank. Number 2, do you want to go to a college football game at 9 a.m.?
Yeah, and
the Pac-12 is considering this. A lot of their coaches have said we play games that are too late, and a lot of it's because of their own network, the Pac-12 network, or TV deals they have. And the guilty party here is Fox. Because they have football on
Saturday. Local anchor rips network.
No,
tweet that out.
I'm all for this, but for those who don't like it, of course, I think it's great, whatever they want to do. It's called Big Noon on Fox, college football, and some of their games could be Pac-12 games. Well, Big Noon is noon Eastern. So
yeah,
that would be 9.
The problem is
anybody go to the game if it's at 9, if you're a student or an alum?
Nobody is watching their games. They've become like a distant, like, third or fourth in terms of conferences because they're on so late. But still, that's probably not the way to go.
Well, and the teams aren't all that exciting either. Remember when USC used to be fun to watch? They're not. Can you name any recent USC quarterbacks, say, over the last? Who was your quarterback?
Sam Darnold.
That's it, right?
John David Booty, I think that was like 10 years ago.
But there was Matt Leinart. There was Mark Sanchez.
Reggie Bush was your running back.
Reggie Bush, Lendell White. There used to be
sizzle. Back when they were cheating, they were more fun.
Yeah, cheat again.
But you're right. Pac-12, the product overall is down. But any team, a 9 a.m. start. Nobody wants to get up and watch.
Just imagine you have to get up like at 6.
And I think Chip Kelly said, you're talking about a 6 a.m. wake up for college kids and then playing. The quality of the game, I would think, would deteriorate. By the way, and those Pac-12, the West games, aren't those always the best? Like Saturday night, if you had to work or you went to the Blues game, at like 11 o'clock, you're watching like Fresno State.
And you've had a couple of beers, you don't mind,
And you're like, it's almost always, it's a cliche, but that West Coast game is almost always like 50 to 48
right,
for some reason.
Utah, Wazoo, you don't care.
Yes. So I guess that's a no, if I had to guess. All right, 5 for Frank. Can I sell you on 90 wins today? Do you know what the math is currently for the rest of the season to get to 90 wins, 35-25? 35-25 the rest of the way will get you 90 wins. Can I sell you on that?
It's the first time I've answered that yes.
All right, and then the Houston-Chicago back-to-back, 6 games. Are you bullish or do you think 3-3 is reasonable? 3-3 homestand, Houston, first place, Chicago tied for first.
I hate to sound like I'm contradicting myself, but yeah, I'll take 3-3, even though they're going to get to 90. So,
all right, there it is, Hoff. We now have confirmation we're getting to 90 after all of the buildup.
All right, it's the reunion, right, Martin? It's
2004,
and when you think of 2004, you think of one of the great postseason pitchers in Cardinal history. Yeah, you can look it up. If there was a big game, this guy was at his best. It's our pleasure to welcome the program, Frank Cusumano and Martin Kilcoin. Welcome the one and only Jeff Supon, Jeff. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Real good. How about the excitement level for you seeing the boys from that team? It's probably been a while since you've seen many of them.
It has been. I'm looking forward to it. The whole rotation looks like we'll be in, which is exciting. So it's fun. You know, it's like the one thing about reunions is you know you're getting older. So that's the fact that never changes. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody catching up. And, you know, it's going to be a fun little weekend.
But, Jeff, you pitched in other organizations. How did the three-year run in St. Louis kind of redefine your career and how people look back and remember you? Because 04, 05, 06 for the Cardinals are three outstanding years, all for different reasons. But how do you think it sort of reshaped your resume?
I think it had a huge impact. I think that maybe other parts of my career prepared me for that opportunity. I wish I had the opportunity to play in St. Louis my whole career, which I'm sure every player would ever say, you know what I mean? And it was just, it was an amazing run of wins and teammates and coaches that were just great. And like I said, it was one of those things my wife and I were just talking about on our way to the zoo this morning that, that man, it would have been nice to have played here, you know, a long time. So,
Jeff, you had that incredible start in Game 7 of the 2006 NLCS. You actually did not factor in the decision, but you only gave up one run in seven innings. You later won a Game 7. If you got a decision in that 2006, I think you'd be one of the only pitchers in baseball history to win two Game 7s. The question is, why were you at your best at the most important times?
Don't you know? Do you know why?
I do not.
That mental makeup, that California cool.
You know, it's. I've said this many times, but honestly, we used to joke around, but it's a true statement. I heard this a long time ago. Like, oh, you know, biggest game of the year, biggest game of the year. And the person who was saying it, this was a while ago, you know, was joking. You know, it's like two last place teams, you know. Hey, biggest game of the year, let's go. But it was funny how I kind of adopted that as my own motto, where every game is the biggest game of the year. And if you – so, you know, like whatever game you're in, when you quote-unquote get into that biggest game of the year, nothing's ever changed. So I felt the same. I mean, of course, I had extra nerves and all that stuff, and there's more at stake. There's more media. But really the reality is the game has not changed in those moments. And I think I was able to stay calm when others may have not been able to. I was able to slow myself down and just and basically think one pitch at a time, and it just worked out. And maybe it was just a three-year period, but I was a grinder. I mean, I just went out and I was going to not back down, and I'm going to pitch my game and try to give the team a chance to win. That's how I kind of did it. So fortunately, they won a lot of games I pitched in, and I mean, I always didn't get the win, but it really didn't matter in the playoffs as long as we win.
And we're talking about two epic Game 7s, the one in 06 in New York. Beltran strikes out, Waino on the mound, the Yachty home run, one of the all-time great Cardinal games, and that's saying something. And then 2 years earlier, the NLCS Game 7, it was the Houston Game 7 the day after Edmonds hit the extra-inning homer. But Edmonds has an incredible catch in center. Scott Rolen hits a home run. And I would think for you, and I know you're not a big hype guy, but in the history books, you on that mound, and it was Roger Clemens on the other side. To me, that I think I remember running on the field, and I just said something like, you beat the Rocket. And you're like, well, I didn't beat the Rocket. But I just wonder, as you look back, more impressive because Clemens was on the other side?
No doubt. I had faced him five times that year. You know what I mean? Like, I came up, I was a rookie when he was at toward the end of his years in Boston. And then however many years later, he's still playing. He had pitched well every game. I think I hadn't won any games I pitched in against him, a couple of no decisions. And, you know, he's a fierce competitor. So, I mean, certainly to come out on that. But, you know, with Jimmy's catch, you know, I always have to, you know, I try to say, like, look, that catch wouldn't happen if I didn't miss my spot. You know what I mean? Like, if I didn't throw Osmus a cement mixer slider and he pulled it, Jimmy wouldn't have had that opportunity to make that catch. You know, and so it was funny because in our old restaurant, I got that picture and I said, hey, can you write something, you know, on there? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. So he's like, hey, this is one of, you know, hey, Soup, this is one of my best. Hey, you know, and he says in a joking way, hey, just don't put it up around the corner, you know, in your restaurant. So that's exactly what I did. So I put it up around the corner, but I always let people walk around and they always saw that around the corner. But it was an amazing catch. And obviously saved the game right there. My strategy of giving up early home runs worked. So I gave up that early home run to to Biggio. But it was a good win. And then Roland hits the home run, and we end up winning the game. But my memory doesn't serve me well. I can't remember all the facts, but it was a great series. We had faced those guys so many times that year, too.
Was the 2004 team the most talented team you were ever on?
I believe so, yes. Yes. I mean, what did we win, 105 games? I mean, it was like, you know, most of my career, it was on some of the teams, I'm not going to say most of my career, but some of the teams I played on, you know, you're losing a lot of games, right? You're losing more than you're winning. So you kind of have to learn how to, you know, learn more, lose more in a professional manner, right? So you're like, okay, how are we going to, you know, you have that feeling of like, how are we going to lose? You know, how is it going to happen tonight, right? And then when I came to St. Louis, it was like, it was a total 180. And it was like, gosh, how are we going to win tonight? And it was just like unconscious. And just the feeling was amazing to go into cities and sweep every series against, you know, them. And you know, to win 105 games was really, it was really incredible. So certainly the team itself was probably the most talented team I had been on and won.
Reunion weekend for the Cardinals 2004. Jeff Supon with us, Martin and Frank on 590 The Fan. And the sting of losing that series, I think La Russa has said it over the years, he just wished that it had been more representative, even win a couple of games instead of getting swept. But I would, and some players, maybe even Edmund said it to us, like, still not over it. But I would think because you guys won it all in 06, for those who were still around, that erased some of the sting from 04.
Well, I mean, certainly. For those that were still there in 06, yes. I mean, I don't know about everybody from that 04 team, but I don't really talk about it a whole lot. I mean, they ask me a few questions from time to time. I mean, I think that I just am still a little bit in shock because it was such a good team. But the only thing I could say is that the Red Sox that year, they swept the Yankees and us to win it. I mean, so... I mean, they won. They didn't sweep them. They won four against the Yankees and the four against us. So, it's a bummer.
Jeff, you won 44 games over a three-game stretch at the zenith of your career here in St. Louis. Your pitching coach was Dave Duncan, who always had the theory about pitching to contact. Why were you just the perfect pitcher for Dave, and how did you guys click and mesh and have that success together?
I mean, I don't know if I was the perfect pitcher for Dunk, but, I mean, if I was Dunk, I would have picked a guy who struck out more people. but that wasn't my thing. I just didn't have it. You know, I don't know. Honestly, like with Dunk, I just had so much trust in him. I don't think I ever had a pitching coach I had more trust in, and his advice, his in-game pitch selection, his help during the game. I mean, mechanically, like, look, I was, 29, 30. I mean, I knew my mechanics. I didn't really have mechanical problems. I mean, I knew my style of pitching, and he just was basically the type of pitching coach that, you know, was able to help me with pitch selection. He was able to help me with, you know, where our defense was positioned at times. I mean, and, you know, it helps certainly when you have a lot of golden gloves out there, you know. But I don't know. He just kind of let me pitch. And not that I did whatever I wanted. I mean, I followed the game plans, but it was just it was just that trust that I had in him. And so, I don't know.
We buried the lead. He's at the zoo. He's cheating on Grant's farm, which was, in the old days, we'd have him on the radio. He and Dana would be exploring the city, and he'd say, guys, I just love Grant's farm. It became kind of a running joke at the radio station. Today, he's venturing out all these years later at the zoo. Give us an update on the family and also your role with the Royals. I think you spent the last couple years pitching coach in Idaho Falls.
Yes. Let's see. Brody, my son, is 7 now. My daughter is 9, and they'll both be turning 1 year in September, October. When we were in St. Louis, we didn't have them. My daughter was born my last few years in Milwaukee. They love softball and baseball, and they just finished All-Stars, so they're just cruising. So, what was the other question?
I think the question was a terrible one, to be honest, to be candid. But I usually don't talk the day before it starts, so I apologize. I'm not on my game.
Well played.
I believe Soup was, I don't talk the day before the day before. It was very confusing, like when he talked and didn't
now,
talk.
Now, he was always a great talker, but he kind of difficult at times.
Yeah, he was busy giving.
Here's the deal, though, on that, okay? Some people have all different personalities on that stuff, right? So for me, like, I didn't want, like, if you would ask me a question and, like, hey, what are you going to do with so-and-so sitting 900 off you? And all of a sudden that would become I'd start thinking about that. I'm like, and I just wanted to avoid, like, those media-type questions that have to be asked, right? I didn't want to think about them beforehand, right? Because I know, you know, Jeff Kent is hitting 460 off me. And I know he has a lot of power off, you know, he's hit a lot of bombs off me and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't really want to think about it. I didn't want to hear. And then there was these other facts that all of a sudden, like, the media would pop out, like, Jose Vizcaino is 11 for 11 off you. I'm like, what? No way. You know what I mean? So, like, I try to avoid those day before conversations. That's what I try to do. Is
interesting.
That wrong?
No. Okay. Now, wrong? All these years later, we unpacked it, and now I feel better about it. And he'd be over in the corner with Ricky Horton giving him a word of the day, and Frank and I just kind of felt hurt that we were left out. I think the question was.
I tried to give you guys some stuff like that was, you know, off color, so that way, you know, it kind of like you gave me some space on those days. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You
make
it easy on me.
Well, it worked. He had 44 games in 3 years.
Yeah. It worked. Nobody cares about us. They care about you winning those big games. I think the question was, you were coaching in Idaho Falls, and I was wondering, why is he doing that? But now you're in a different role with the Royals. We've got Matheny over there, Cal Eldred's over there, Reggie Sanders, a lot of former Cardinals. Tell us about your work.
Simon Tatchy.
Oh, that's right.
He's my
boss,
dude.
Yeah.
He's your boss, Simo.
He's my boss. Yeah, he's, And so, yeah, so I was in Idaho Falls, which was a short season. So it just gave me an opportunity to coach the Royals. Had talked to me ever since. Let's see, in 2011, I played in the minor leagues with the Kansas City Royals, and that was with the World Series team that won it in 15. Okay, so I all those guys started coming up to the big leagues, and they were, you know, telling great stories about me. I mean, that's a joke, guys. Come on. I mean, come on. Anyway, so they basically were telling stories, and so they kept asking me if I wanted to coach. I said, I'm not ready to coach yet. So, a few years go by, and I just, you know, with the kids being so little and I have a chance to basically be at home with them, you know, I said, like, look, I don't really want to be a full-time coach, like, you know, during a full season. But I started coaching the short season, and I loved it. And I've done that for 4 years. And then this past season, they asked me if I would be a roving pitching coach, not necessarily your typical coordinator position, but more of like I'm coming in when these guys get their vacation time. So our coaching staff gets vacation time during the season. It allows me to see the entire organization. So I've really enjoyed it, and it's a really great organization.
Perfect. Jeff, honored to have you on the program. We will see you in St. Louis this weekend. Thanks so much.
Are you going to ask me any good questions?
No, we don't have it. Don't you remember? You know better. We don't have any. That's why you didn't talk to us.
No, that's why I should have talked to you more. I should have talked to you more because I like casual conversations. Why do you always got to talk balls and strikes, you know?
Well, and that's the mistake you made. Do you really think any of us would have done the research to walk up to you and say, do you know the career stats versus so-and-so? We wouldn't have actually done that legwork, so you would have been fine. We would have just been like, hey, Jeff, big one tomorrow, huh? That's all it would have been.
You're right. Yeah, because all those guys are like on TV now, and they're doing those shows like those. You know those guys.
The stat guys, the big stat guys. We're not big stat guys.
I'm not a stat guy. I never was. Like, hey, what do you feel? How'd the season go? I don't know. I'll let you know in like a couple weeks. I'll let you know in like 20 years how the season went. I don't even know. But that's funny. Well, hey, it was great. You know, great talking with you guys and. Hopefully, we got those ratings up. You know,
it just spiked. Soup was always great in the big game and fun with the media when he was ready to play ball. Great to talk to you. We'll see you this weekend.
All right, you guys take care.
And there he is live from the zoo. I don't know how many reports, Frank, we've done with a former player checking in live from the zoo.
That's the San Diego Zoo.
No, he's here. He's in town.
Oh, okay.
Came in town with his family last night.
Does he live in San Diego now? Where does he live?
I think in California, the LA area. Yeah. And he had Soup's Grill, for those wondering, has closed because he got into the coaching world. And I was trying to politely say, why the hell are you coaching in Idaho Falls? Is what I was trying to say, but I didn't spit it out.
Yeah. By the way, if you've signed $40 million contracts in your career, the last thing you want to do is, you know, be working at a restaurant until 11 o'clock every night. All right?
Correct.
It's like Stan Musial once said, do you know how you can make a small fortune in the restaurant business? You start with a large fortune. Or my brother Mark, he'll say, I love your kids too much to give them the restaurant. You don't want to do that for a living. I promise.
Yeah, he is, and it sounds like the perfect job, the roving instructor. You fill in for the pitching coach who's on a holiday or a break.
Kind of sounds like a consultant in television, which is my dream job.
How about Simon Tachi being his boss?
That's fun.
Wow.
And I forgot about the Simo man being over there in Kansas City. Don't forget Cardinals.com for all your ticket needs. Promotions, just go Cardinals.com/promotions. Somehow I've turned into 622 Blue. But there are a lot of great ticket deals going on and promotions. Check it out at Cardinals.com. And also go see my buddy Matt Offenberg. He's in O'Fallon, Illinois. It's their 30th anniversary. They were the original Hyundai dealer in this area, 1989. No sticker shock when you get there because the price online is the same in person. It's OffenbergHyundai.com, right off Highway 64 in O'Fallon, Illinois. And for those who don't know, pitchers never talk the day of a game. But Soup would add into us, oh, guys, I'm not talking. We're like, well, you're pitching tomorrow. He goes, yeah, I don't talk the day before.
I don't talk
game.
The day after either.
Or the day after. Yeah. He had a lot of weird. He was sort of messing with us, but obviously great fun. You can tell he's a lot of fun.
Yep.
And Grant's Farm, he would go with his wife. They did not have kids. That's what made it more interesting back then. During the daytime, you got time to kill. They would venture around town. And I always said he should have had like a tourism blog because he's from California but loves St. Louis.
How about this? I was an usher at Busch Stadium in 2006 and loved working when Supon started. He took forever on the mound, and it seemed like every count went full. Games he started lasted forever, and my paycheck was always bigger.
I was waiting for the compliment to come full circle.
Frank, I just made a reservation for Kimmel's Chop House tonight for me and my wife's anniversary. Can I wear jeans and a polo? Yes, absolutely can. My father used to say, what color is your money? Green, you're in. It's fine.
But be warned, maybe come in the back door because Tuna's going to be there tonight.
Yeah.
I like how he announces on Friday where he'll be. It is sort of a public service announcement. Places you can avoid.
Can we start maybe asking managers of restaurants that he mentions he's going to be at how was business that day? Did you notice a dip from that Friday to last Friday?
No, the Tuna spike. Come on, Hoff. The Tuna spike tonight. As he makes his world tour. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Cards, Astros, we got the Cubs. To get to 90, Hoff, I'm telling you, all it takes, 35 and 25.
45% chance of making the playoffs.
Is that what it is?
Baseball reference, yes.
Because they're factoring in schedule, of course.
Yes.
And schedule's about to get tougher. That is, you know, for the haters of the world like Strick, everybody's this guy. They have beaten up on the Pirates and Reds, but that was the job. You had 11 against the Reds and Pirates. They took 9 of 11. That's getting the job done.
You miss Verlander this weekend. You do face Garrett Cole, but there's a fair amount of familiarity with him because you faced him a lot when he was in Pittsburgh.
Kind of an unknown tonight. That's the issue, right?
Yes, Garrett Cole, by the way, on my team. I'm not sure who I'm rooting for.
Are we going to get like a Frank Gore situation on Saturday? Are you going to pat him on the back and say, go get him?
Go get him, Frank. I'll never forget that moment in the tunnel at The Edward Jones Dome. I just said, go get
go
him,
Frank. Get him, Frank.
All right, a couple of quick business items. Maryville University, their athletic director is Lonnie Folks, and they're continuing to build a more diverse and inclusive campus. Core value of the institution, one of four pillars in Maryville's strategic plan. Diversity and inclusion are key principles of the learning environment, and Maryville regards multicultural understanding as an essential measure of a student's success. And Lakeside is one of our great sponsors. Lakeside Roofing's reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive pricing. Lakeside Roofing features the finest quality roofing materials, and they provide expert installation. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. All right, we have the Cam Jansen show coming up.
We do. And then also, the, you know, 590 baseball.
Oh,
these
of course.
Are all just JV programs.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I know. Like, you guys were the freshman game. JV's coming up, and then varsity.
At one.
Yes.
All right, we'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend.